is Davin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you for hanging out. Davin said, a little correction on Harlow and Lake. You can find out about them on Fluttertone.com. Fluttertone.com. In case you're interested in it. Sorry about that, guys. So we got a brand new segment called Outrage Against the Machine, because everybody is so angry, mostly about stuff that's really not that important. Nonsense. But is there cancel culture? Are we going to boycott this? Why are they complaining about this? All this anger, all this outrage. And we got a lot to get through. There's a lot of horse shit going around. So, we'll see if any of these have justified outrage. Some of them might. I'm willing to bet a bunch of them don't. But here's our, here's the brand new intro music for that.
Books, TV, the internet, movies, everybody's pissed about something. Welcome to Outrage Against the Machine!
So we will start off with one that has not gotten as much coverage. But I did do a poll. And my poll question was, Americans are outraged about toys, books, TVs, movies, products. The question was, do people take pleasure in being outraged? Pip, do you think people take pleasure in being outraged?
Yeah,
Jody,
especially on the East Coast, complaining is our national sport.
It's our birthright. Joe, do you think people take pleasure in being outraged?
Yeah, they actually, as of late, they do, because everybody with the COVID, everybody's got a lot of free time. So all they do is just sit and watch stuff and react to it.
Now, I think people have always been outraged, but now, because of social media, we get to see their outrage, and they get to pontificate.
That has a little bit of it, too, yeah.
Well, so I put that poll question. 61% said yes, people take pleasure in being outraged. 39% said no. We will start with Jeep Cherokee. Believe it or not, that is controversial. Jeep Cherokee went to one of Joe's, I'm assuming one of his favorite magazines, Car and Driver. I'm assuming Joe is a fan of that, likes cars. For the first time, the Cherokee Nation is asking Jeep to change the name of its Cherokee and Grand Cherokee vehicles. I'm sure this comes from a place that is well-intended, but does not honor us by having our name plastered on the side of a car, unlike Tide, which you see in NASCAR. Chuck Hoskin Jr., principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, told Car and Driver in a written statement, responding to our request for comments on the issue. The best way to honor us is to learn about our sovereign government, our role in this country, our history, culture, and language, and a meaningful dialogue with federally recognized tribes on cultural appropriateness. I gotta say, that seems like a lot of work. It's just a lot easier to name a car after you.
I was just gonna, that's a lot of shit to put in the side of a car.
Gonna need a bigger car. All right, you could call it a Cherokee, but you got to put it on the size of a bus to put all that shit on there.
Listen, if they'll pay you to drive around in a hot dog, I would definitely drive around in the indigenous people's car.
I like the indigenous people car.
Yeah.
Jeep has been building cars that wear the Cherokee Nation's name for more than 45 years. In that time, the company has gone on the record several times defending its decision to use the name of a Native American nation on its cars. Why wouldn't you? Over the past 8 years since the reintroduction of the Cherokee nameplate to the U.S. market in 2013, the Cherokee Nation has gone on record too, but it had never explicitly said that Jeep should change the car's names. In December, Cleveland's Major League Baseball team made the decision to drop its nickname and mascot. In July, Washington, D.C.'s NFL team announced it would stop using a nickname long considered a racial slur, Redskins. The team spent last season known only as the Washington Football Team. The National Congress of American Indians began working to address the issues of Native American imagery in 1968. In 2005, the National Collegiate Athletic Association began prohibiting colleges and universities from displaying hostile or abusive names, mascots, or imagery. Last spring, the dairy company Land O'Lakes removed the image of a Native American woman it has used on its packaging. I guess she's more of a butter gal. Not a margarine gal. I don't know. I can't believe it's not native. Anyway, all right. I think we're in a day. What, no? No good? All right.
I
think we're in a day and age in this country where it's time for both corporations and team sports to retire the use of Native American names, images, and mascots from their products, team jerseys, and sports in general, Chief Hoskins said in a statement. So the Wall Street Journal reports that the CEO of Stellantis, Jeep's parent company, now says he's open to ending the company's use of the Cherokee name and that the conversation with Cherokee Nation on the issue is ongoing. A representative from Jeep declined to make further comment on the matter, and representatives with Cherokee Nation did not immediately respond to for a request. Now, in the past, when they weren't going by Cherokee, they were using the title like a Jeep Liberty. It was essentially the same thing.
And usually, when the Indian Nation would, you know, pipe up about it, they would just give them cigarettes and booze. And they get another couple of years out of that, so now I guess they run out of that.
What, they were all out of blankets with smallpox, Joe?
That's why they had to go to the cigarettes and booze.
I see. Okay, no wampum. Listen, you know what? I get it. Why? If they're upset by it, if they're finally saying we really don't like it, why not? I'll give you an example. That was like last week or 2 weeks ago. Pip brought up the plant The Wandering Jew, which I think she'd mentioned once before, and I think I had the same apoplectic reaction, like, what? I think she's... I get it. Like, I'm not going to pick it or make a statement to the Horticulture Club about it, but I get why people wouldn't want it. If they find it insulting to put their name on the side of the car, you've already not called it a Cherokee before, you're not losing anything. As Joe has said before, the cars aren't that good to begin with, so you probably could use a rebrand.
And the only thing is, all of a sudden, you know, they're getting upset about you, and the Cherokee is celebrating their heritage.
But they don't feel it is.
It's not like the Jeeps are coming out of nowhere attacking a wagon train. You know, I mean.
But Joe, but here's the thing. I mean, I get what you're saying. But if the group can't take the ownership of their name, it'd be different if it was white people being outraged on behalf of the Cherokee Nation. Go, take this off, you're offending them. And Cherokee Nation hadn't said anything about it, then I'd be with you. I'd be like, shut up. If the Cherokees are fine with it, let it go. But now we've heard the chief of the Cherokee Nation go, listen, we really don't like it. We don't want it. It's not really honoring us. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. It's not that big of a deal.
And Jeep said in response they're going to be naming the new truck the Casino. That's something that you could all get behind.
Sure. Jeep Casino.
There was a Studebaker. As a matter of fact, we probably saw one of the models sitting when we went to take that tour. Studebaker, in the late 1950s, came out with a plain Jane car, stripped of everything. It was just a bare bones, no frills car, and they called it the Scotsman. Because the Scottish are very, and I test because I'm a Scotsman myself, are very thrifty and very cheap. And the fact that they came out, you know, you could say, well, that's an insult to the Scots. I love the car because it's like our heritage of being thrifty.
Yeah, but a lot of people wouldn't like it. You would, but you have a thicker skin than most. Like, there's a college basketball team playing tonight in the finals for their conference. I forget against who. But they were used to be like the Phelan Fighting Christians was the team name, but like several years ago, maybe a decade ago, they changed it to the Phoenix. You know, at some point, you just go, do we really need to put ethnicities or religions plastering it all over the place? At some point, you just go, yeah, I get it. We did it before. If they don't like it, why would you continue? In this case, I feel the Cherokee Nation has a right to be aggrieved because it's theirs. It's their name. If it was some other group complaining on behalf of them, I wouldn't feel that way. I'd be more like, dummy up if they're fine with it. But it's their name. And if they can't take ownership of their name, their heritage, and their identity, really, then what do any of us have?
But yeah, but like my whole thing about it is, so where were they when they first came out with this truck? This truck has been built for decades.
Well, you know,
all of a sudden, people are coming out of the woodwork that they're upset. If they were that upset, where were they when they...
Well, I think it could be a couple things. First of all, society's changing. But I also might think it could be that, you know, sometimes people just, like, grin and bear it for a long time. And now they might finally... Again, I don't know the people involved in the decisions. But now they might be finally go, you know what? We feel confident enough that we can speak about it. It could be it, too. I don't know the actors. But again, It's their name. It's not a big deal for Jeep. They've already rebranded the shit before as the Jeep Liberty. You can't get more patriotic than Liberty. Call it the Jeep Liberty again. Call it the Liberty Grand. It's not a big deal. You're not losing much on it. People are still going to buy the car, not going to buy the car. It's not like to get out, well, it's not Cherokee, I'm not going to buy it anymore. Nah, if you wanted the car, you were going to buy the car. The company loses nothing. They lose nothing with this.
I think they should just rename it the Jeep Muslim.
Well, that no, okay. Pip Helix, Pip Helix.
That wouldn't cause any problems.
And what would it have the two models, the Shia and the Sunni model? Is that what it'd be? The Shia Sportster and the Sunni Coupe.
The Shia Sports.
what a wonderful idea, Pip.
It gets 300 rocks per gallon.
Wow. I hear a knocking. Yeah, that's just the rocks in the tank.
that was the line, yeah. But like I said, it's just another thing where people are coming out of the woodwork with this stuff.
But these are the people.
It's got to stop somewhere.
But I don't think it has to stop here. I hear what you're saying, but these are the people. Like if anybody could complain about it, it's them. It's their people. You know, you were flattered by the Scotsman thing and Thrifty. I guarantee you not every Scotsman embraces that stereotype as much as you do.
It's sort of
Go on, Pip.
Pick up the dinner check.
Okay. Well, it's a liquid dinner. Go on, Pip. And then we'll move on.
Well, the Native Americans have had to fight for so many much more basic things. Because America has fucked them royally. So it's like the name of the car was like further down the list of things to fight for. But now we're getting more into an area where people are willing to listen.
Yeah.
So, you know, they feel emboldened to say something about it because, you know, people are actually in the mood to listen now. I mean, you know, we have screwed them. I won't even go off into that tangent, but we screwed them so hard the name of the car was like down the list.
I think this is going to be a recurring theme tonight in my analysis. When you're a company, whatever the company's personal beliefs are is irrelevant. But when you're a company, you want to be as inclusive as possible for the very selfish reason you want your product, whatever it may be, to appeal to as many people as possible. As in most walks of life, it benefits you to be liked by as many people as possible. So I think there's enough people, you know, if this story gets out there, it's out there a little bit. It's not a huge story. But I think there's enough people that would say, yeah, you know what, Jeep should do the right thing, rename it. And they lose nothing with it. They lose not a thing. And they might gain some people with it.
Here's the saddest part of that story. The new Grand Cherokee, the damn thing's probably going to be almost $100,000. So that's
where you get the grand from, Joe.
Holy crap! Really?
Well, Joe, if you win big at the casino, you can afford it.
The Cherokee that they had, which was a popular truck, and they had it, oh, God, for years. They stopped producing it in 91, and they're putting out this model now based on it. It's going to be a fortune, which is going to kind of hurt the branding of Jeep on that. But, you know, it's always been, you know, even though the tribe is upset, I've always had a positive connotation when I heard that name. It's a name of strength. It's a name of heritage.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah, I understand. But again, honestly, to be fair, it's really irrelevant what we feel about it if they don't feel good about it. If they were fine with it like they had been or had not said anything, then I'd be fine with it. But the fact that the chief of the nation voice go, listen, this is not what we want. You just honor and respect it. We lose nothing. You're going to buy the Jeep or not buy the Jeep. We lose nothing from it.
I'm not buying it. I have $100,000.
Well, if you go to the casino, maybe you will. All right. This was Joe's blog this week. This is Coca-Cola. Trump supporters are calling for a boycott over reports that Coca-Cola is forcing employees to go through racism training that teaches white workers to be less white. An internal whistleblower shared training curriculum. Now they like whistleblowers, the Republicans. Before they didn't like whistleblowers. They're all over the place with the whistleblowers. An internal whistleblower shared training curriculum from a... Can you just imagine a guy just blowing a fucking whistle? Why isn't anybody listening? What are you blowing for? Tell us what the problem. I can't. I just blow the whistle. You figure it out. It's like Timmy talking to Lassie.
Right. It's like, we don't know who the whistleblower is. Of course you do. It's follow the whistle.
Follow your ears, stupid.
This is either going to be the whistleblower or me doing the lifeguard bit.
We couldn't hear it because it was a dog whistle.
It was sorry, it wasn't a whistleblower. Joe was doing his little comedy skit. No false alarm, folks. Nothing to see here. An internal whistleblower shared training curriculum from a public LinkedIn learning seminar on confronting racism with Robin DiAngelo showing a number of short vignettes. It encouraged employees to be less oppressive, be less arrogant, be less certain, be less defensive, be less ignorant, use the word less, be more humble, listen, believe, break with apathy, break with white solidarity in order to be less white. Yet Trump supporters are not impressed with the corporation's training and are mockingly calling the brand Woca-Cola. I'll give you that. That's kind of funny. Woca-Cola. Oh, funny.
Woca-Cola.
I'll give you that. That's funny. Unusual for the conservatives to nail it that well with the comedy, but I guess they had one, and he nailed it.
Oh, let me tell you something. I've been working out a bit on this whole thing. I've been doing it at the workshop, and I as soon as I was doing the comics at the compound 2 weeks ago, first thing I discussed when I went on stage, you know, it's just how...
Yeah, well, look at that audience, Joe. Of course they did. Of course they enjoyed it. Anyway, conservatives Bridget Gabriel tweeted, retweet if you're done with at Coca-Cola products. Uh-oh, cancel culture, kids. The American alt-right, by the way, this got a lot of feedback, this Joe's blog, because I put it on Instagram. A lot of people had comments to say about this shit and liked it and everything on Instagram.
But somebody read my blog?
They read your blog. They commented. I don't know. The American alt-right political activist Jack Posobiec also tweeted, Coke's popularity was because of their Americana marketing. This effect has been examined in many studies, he didn't cite one of them, by the way, which also show Pepsi doing better in taste tests. I don't know if that's true either. But now Coke just threw hundreds of years of marketing out the window. I think they'll be fine. Conservative activist Melissa Tate said, what Coke and other organizations are doing should be rejected by all society. Critical race theory is a Marxist ideology, as they tried to boycott, designed to create permanent racial division and balkanization to conquer America from within. Yes, the cola wars have taken on a whole new fucking level. The cola wars will finally bring the nation down, and I will tell you who's going to win, Dr. Pepper, because he's the most educated, and you know how I feel about education. Dr. Pepper shall rule the nation. In a statement, Coca-Cola denied the video and images circulating on social media were part of the company's learning curriculum. Our Better Together global training as part of a learning plan to help build an inclusive workplace. It is comprised of a number of short vignettes, each a few minutes long. The statement read, the training includes access to the LinkedIn learning platform on a variety of topics including on diversity, equity, and inclusion. A Coca-Cola spokesperson told Snopes users had the ability to navigate outside of the intended curriculum, which may have given the false impression that certain videos were part of the training. See what happens when you give people freedom? Never works out well. LinkedIn later removed the course from its online offerings. In the aftermath, however, hashtag boycott Coca-Cola, cancel culture, and boycott Coke began circulating on Twitter and Facebook, with users urging others to avoid Coca-Cola products due to the company's connection to the training. Or as Joe pointed out, the shit's not good for you. That might be a better reason.
Yeah, I gave my example.
Oh, listen, all right.
It's not a political decision. It's a health decision. I shouldn't be drinking. I drink the little cans once in a while, but it's not good, and Diet Coke is even worse for you.
No, it's not bad for you, but it's not good for you, but that's not the argument here. That's not... listen. First of all, it turns out, and this was not heavily reported, that this was not a Coca-Cola thing, this was a LinkedIn thing, and when LinkedIn started getting the blowback, LinkedIn deleted the shit. So people, here's the problem with these, hashtag, hacktivism, that's what it is, hashtag activism, hacktivism, they just want to jump on board, whatever, it's left, right, center, and Joe was saying on my Facebook page it's a left, right thing, no, it's a people thing, people don't do the research. Listen, I think racial sensitivity training is fine. I think the points were fine up until they said be less white. That's not helpful. I have a feeling, white people, we probably don't know what that means, to be fair. But people of color probably knows exactly what that means, but it's not helpful. You know, telling people to be more empathetic, be less certain, be less judgmental, those are all good things for all of us, regardless of color, and certainly good for the workplace.
This is the key, and this is part of the preamble that I do in the act. I'm still working this out.
I love a joke with a preamble, Joe. I love a good preamble.
How racist is Coca-Cola? You know, I never really heard where they gotta start training people, you know?
If you think about it, I think it's a good thing, because we're finding more and more, as we allude to in the last segment with the Jeep Cherokee, people are more comfortable speaking out. There is sometimes people are overtly racist. That's bad. And sometimes people are just ignorant. That's not as bad. So if this type of training can make people less ignorant, listen, as a business, I want everybody getting along and fucking making the cans of soda and, you know, putting out all the Coke products. That's what I want. So I would not be offended by this type of training. Listen, you have sexual harassment training now. That used to not be a thing. You have all these things. Why? To make the workplace better. To make it more cohesive so we don't got to deal with your stupid activities and your stupid nonsense. I have no problem with it. The Be Less White, which is not Coca-Cola's, which was LinkedIn's, was the problem. Because, oh, let's be honest, Coca-Cola has solely implored white polar bears. Never did I see a black bear. Not one black bear, not one brown bear. There's some bullshit there. There was some racism there.
if I work there and they're telling me be less white, please, I've been trying for years. Look at this. I have no melanin. How could I?
Well, Pip, in your defense, you put all the junk in the trunk so you're a little less white than you thought. Okay?
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Thank you.
Your trunk is very junky.
and the car and body.
Yes, that's what I was talking.
Yeah, I think the whole be less white thing, number one, is going to lead to animosity. It's going to lead to resentment.
Yes.
And I think it's going to have a totally opposite connotation.
Of course. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Nobody's defending the be less white thing. Listen, I said, I think people of color understand what that means, and I think the racism sensitivity training is a good thing, but you're stepping on your message when you put be less any ethnicity. You're ruining
it. It's less oppressive. It's like, you're only going to be drinking Pepsi now, boy. Ain't no Coke for you. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That was LinkedIn's thing. But what I do enjoy is I find conservatives do not understand irony, because as they like to rail against the liberals with boycott this, many times have we've seen they can get themselves behind a good boycott as well. So to my point, people are just assholes. It's just hacktivism. That's what it is. Hashtag activism, which I have no tolerance for. If you don't want to drink Coke, and Joe gave plenty of good reasons not to, don't. I mean, you know, people were the conservatives were boycotting Colin Kaepernick. Oh, no, they were boycotting. Well, they did that too. They were boycotting Nike because Nike featured Colin Kaepernick in a commercial. So all these conservatives, the fucking brain surgeons that they are, they would take their Nikes and fucking burn them. Stupid. You already paid for them. Nike already got your money. Not really a good reason to boycott Nike. If you wanted a better reason to boycott Nike, what they pay the child laborers to make these sneakers in foreign countries.
It's following along the lines of the whole Coke thing.
That's what I said. I said it's the point you made. I said Joe gave better reasons to boycott Coke because it's not good for you.
Yeah, there was a reason, but it's along the lines of, you know, and like I said, what my blog and the bit I'm working on shows the hypocrisy of where Coke is. They don't give it. They could care less. All they want to do is make money any way they can.
But that's fine. That's capitalism, baby. I mean, as a conservative, you should embrace that. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. Let them make their money as long as they're not hurting anybody. I don't give a shit. I really don't.
Yeah.
Soda's delicious.
Can you say the same thing of like tobacco companies? But they are hurting.
But they're hurting somebody. I have more of a problem, and we're adults, so we get to make this decision. with the crap they put in soda. I drink it. I have more of a problem with the child labor and how they're treating the kids who make the Nikes. Yet I'm wearing Nikes. You know why? Because I'm not that fucking all into myself and all into activism. That's why. And you people should be less active too, because this hashtag shit is nonsense. This hashtag stuff does nothing. It does nothing. You're just going, look at me, and the problem with this particular one is they're boycotting Coke. It wasn't even a Coke thing. It was a LinkedIn thing. And you can't boycott LinkedIn because nobody's on that shit anymore. It's fucking nonsense.
But there are certain things that I, for example, boycott for myself because I don't feel good about supporting that particular company.
That's fine.
You know,
but
I'm not just like saying hashtag boycott
this
and not doing it. You know,
but
I'm doing it, and like, you know, I will try to sometimes on Facebook educate my friends about, you know, this company does this, but it's everybody's decision what they want to do about it. And you also have to pick your battles, because if you go down, I believe that if you go to every corporation in America, international, corporations themselves are not full of moral compass. They are looking out for their stockholders and not necessarily for...
The funny thing is, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the thing about corporations is corporations all they care about is making money. They're supposed to.
Yes. Which again brings me up to the irony. Something conservatives used to support, but now they got their little feelings hurt. Shut the fuck up. All right, let's move on. So we all agree the Be Less White, not ideal. Turns out it's not LinkedIn. If you're going to boycott Coke, boycott it because it's not good for you. Don't boycott it over some nonsense that wasn't even theirs. All right. American Girl doll, one of Joe's favorite toys. 1 million moms, a conservative arm of the American Family Association, a classified anti-LGBT, what, no Q, hate group per the Southern Poverty Law Center, is petitioning for American Girl to drop its new doll's lesbian storyline, claiming it's responsible. Irresponsible. How cool is it to be a doll and get a fucking storyline? Raggedy Ann had to work so hard, couldn't even get like a fucking decent spine. She barely got a storyline. Forget about Raggedy Andy. Anyway, conservative parents...
Yeah, I know. Tell about it. We had to rewrite the fucking script. I don't even know when we're going to be having the table read.
No, I don't even know if it's anything like what we wrote, but that's another story. That's not for now. Conservative parents are outraged, are ya? Reads a petition with more than 28,000 signatures by 1 million moms. Well, there's a lie there. There's not a million moms. There's 28,000. Which operates to stop the exploitation of our children. Where did the child touch you? They asked the American Girl doll. By the entertainment industry, according to its website, American Girl released its first doll with an accompanying book that has an LGBTQ, there you are, storyline. This is unacceptable. In December, American Girl, whose parent company is Mattel, released its 2021 Girl of the Year, a doll named Kira Bailey, who in her book, Kira Down Under, ooh, this sounds hot, travels from Michigan to Australia to visit an animal sanctuary run by her great aunts, Mammy and Lynette, a same-sex couple. It's a lot of work for a fucking doll. The detail won over American Girl fans who love the ongoing inclusivity efforts. The company sells racially diverse dolls with varying abilities and progressive storylines, but sparked homophobic comments in its online collector groups and Amazon book reviews because we have nothing better to do. Why can't the toy manufacturer let kids be kids instead of glamorizing a sinful lifestyle? Fuck the girl doll. American Girl is confusing our innocent children by attempting to normalize same-sex marriage, reads the petition. The doll company did not even include a warning. This girl doll likes to go down on other girl dolls. You should be warned. So parents would have a heads up. American Girl.
Big scissor. Yeah.
This one has great tongue skills. You'll love it. American Girl could have chosen another storyline or characters to write about and remain neutral in the culture war, continues the petition, urging parents to censor the content to avoid a premature conversation that girls are far too young to understand. So they're not going to have the conversation, stupid. Don't worry. They don't understand. They're just playing with the doll, you fucking moron, you. The petition also asks customers to boycott the brand. Boycott! Again, cancel culture! Rage! The brand until it discontinues its plot. The doll company is among several groups earmarked by 1 million moms. The group is currently campaigning against ads by General Motors, which for the Super Bowl featured Will Ferrell and yelling, "Damn it!" An extremely offensive word per OMM. Is it really? Then don't listen to this. Cadbury cream eggs for depicting two men sharing the treat Lady and the Tramp style. What, they fucking rub noses? Warms the group. And eHarmony for featuring two women kissing. It's fucking eHarmony. Everybody's fucking kissing, except for the Nigerian. You could kiss his ass. The organization has also taken on Burger King, Disney, and Hallmark Channel for perceived offenses. Since we got nothing but time on our hand because we are shriveled up old cunts who don't fuck our men anymore. And in 2000, yes, well, as Joe would say, I'm jumping to conclusions. I most certainly am. And in 2015, American Girl Magazine, why is that a thing? Published a story about a black girl adopted by two white men in a relationship. 1 million Moms director Monica Cole told ABC News, "The story was a red flag because we had nothing else to worry about. For conservative parents and promoting a boycott American Girl for pushing the homosexual agenda to children." Fuck the same sex. Fuck it. As reported the outlet. In response to 1 million Moms' call to action toward American Girl, company spokeswoman Julie Parks directed Yahoo Life to its previous statement regarding online backlash against Kira when the doll first debuted. "From the beginning, our Girl of the Year characters have been designed to reflect girls' lives today and the reality of the times. As a brand, we've always strived to share the message that there's no magic recipe for a family and that families can be made up of all kinds of ingredients and each is unique and lovely. We know for girls who can directly relate to Kira's circumstances, i.e. fathers passed away or a couple in a same-sex marriage, we're glad to show that the makeup of one's family doesn't matter. It's still a family and that's all that counts. It's a sentiment we love at American Girl." I got to be honest. As somebody who raised a young kid, they don't really pick up on the same type of shit that adults have hang-ups about. Young kids are just accepting. Like, we had James over my house. James is our former webcast website designer. He's gay. And, you know, and we talked about his boyfriend, whatever. It wasn't a graphic conversation, but we had, how's, you know, what his name, whatever the hell it was. It wasn't in depth. And there was no conversation with my daughter. She didn't ask questions because kids are accepting. It's when you put your own fucking hang-ups on them. The kids just want to play with the doll.
Right. And with that in mind, there's a couple of things here. You have the right to buy it or not. As a parent, you look at the story and decide if you want to buy it for your child or not.
Yep.
Okay? Also, with the girl going to Australia to visit this farm, a zoo. Boy, I'm jealous. I wish I could go to Australia, but I'm sure you guys wish I would too sometimes.
I got you going a little further south, my friend.
Funny. Yeah. But show, you know, you don't make it graphic, but you show these two women who work together. They care for each other. They work well together. They're happy together and stuff like that. Give me an example. You want to write a story? I have a women, same-sex couple that live next door to me. You want to write a story about them? Fine. Write a story how they brought me food when I first moved in. Write a story how they also worried about me when my power, my heater went out and brought me dinner. Also, write about how they came over and helped me get off the fucking roof this weekend.
That's the story. We'll get to that next week. That's the story. Yep.
Next week. Those two are the most sweetest, compassionate people I've ever met in my life. And I, you know, and show that, and whatever their personal preferences, it's none of my business. And it's something, but show them what a couple is and how they care about each other, how they care about our neighbors, how they care about me. That's what the show.
Well, but yeah, but
you want to write something about it. If you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. But that's what you need to show.
You know what? Maybe Mattel should have put a fucking warning on the thing because because they know people have bugs up their ass. Maybe that's just the thing. Put the warning on it. But listen, if you get to reading the story, return the doll. It's okay. You know, listen, I think, again, you're a company. You're trying to be inclusive. You have all these different family situations in our world going on. You know what? To a girl who is being raised by two moms, that doll is probably the best thing ever.
You know what?
Yes.
It probably is. But here's the conundrum. If you put the label on the toy, now you have the gay community up in arms. And
you know what? Then put it on the website. You know what you do? You put a little synopsis of it on the website.
Do a synopsis, because what's going to happen if you put a warning on it? Really, our lifestyle is that bad?
You put it for everything. You put a synopsis of every one of these dolls that have a storyline.
Look, we're in a freaking marketing meeting. I would do the synopsis. Because of the gay community would get up in arms about that. What do you have to have a warning about it?
Exactly.
And they'd be right.
And even if you put it on in the heterosexual thing, now you've got people in jail. Oh, a toy has to have a warning. Why do we need to buy this toy if there's a warning on this? So you're stirring the pot even further if we're going to. Like what we're going to sell, but if you're going to do it, put a synopsis on it.
And
have the parent read the synopsis.
We all agree this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horseshit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I love the fact that these women have this much time to worry about all this shit, which again goes to... But this goes to my point that we were arguing on Facebook. You're like, it's a liberal thing. I said, no, it's a people thing.
It is a people thing, and it's a yenta with too much time on their hands thing. How about you worry about how many children in America are starving?
Yep.
How about you worry about that?
Good point.
You go on, and my friends tell me there's a couple of moms groups for the area schools and stuff like that. They are nasty.
Of course they are.
They are nasty bunch of fucking shrews.
Oh, they're horrible people. The horrible people. All right, so let's move on. Let's move on. Let's continue with our outrage against the machine, Mr. Potato Head. But are you? Are you
Sorry.
Mr. Potato Head? How do I know? I just thought you were a spud. Hasbro created confusion Thursday, did they? When it announced that it would drop the Mr. from the brand's name in order to be more inclusive so all could feel welcome in the Potato Head world. That's all we want, Joe, to be welcome in the Potato Head world.
That's all I want. I want Spuds to love me.
Unfortunately, Dan Quayle was asked to spell Mr. Potato Head World and failed miserably. Anyway, it also said it would sell a new playset this fall without the Mr. and Mrs. designations that will let kids create their own type of potato families, including two moms or two dads. A potato for every family.
Can I stop you for a second? We've all played with Mr. Potato. We all had Mr. Potato. Didn't they give you that to get right off the bat? You know,
yeah.
To put on the thing?
I don't know. I never had a Mr. Potato Head.
You saw the Dick El Dorado thing I did. The damn thing's gender neutral to begin with. And plus, I got to tell you, the potato I used in the video was beyond fucking delicious. It was really good.
Well, now I'm outraged. Does this potato have no rights?
You ate Mr. Potato Head!
I was a bitch right after I got done with the video, the poor thing, but it was delicious.
All right.
You know how afraid Mr. Potato Head is of butter and salt, don't you?
All right, let me get through this.
Olive oil, too. I saw olive oil, a little garlic salt. Oh, Jesus Christ. It was so good. But nonetheless, I digress.
Thank you. We could use a lot more digression on this fucking show. But in a tweet later that afternoon, Hasbro clarified that while the brand is changing, the actual Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head characters will still live on and be sold in stores. In a picture posted on Twitter, the Mr. and Mrs. names are less prominently displayed at the bottom of the box instead of the top. Oh no! While it was announced today that the Potato Head brand name and logo are dropping the Mr., I am, Y-I-M, he wrote, proud to confirm that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head aren't going anywhere and will remain Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, the company tweeted. Thank God. The tweet came after news of the brand name change exploded on Twitter with people asking if Barbie will change her name next. I think Hasbro needs to drop the bro. It just has to be as, another person tweeted. All right. That's fine.
That's clever.
I'll give you that one. Yeah, that's good.
Such a bit.
Yeah, sure. Hasbro appears to want to have it both ways. Yes! That's what they're saying! Expand the brand while not killing off its most iconic characters, which appeared in the Toy Story films. Yes! That's what a company tries to do! That's how business works, kids! They are looking to broaden the franchise, said Robert Pasikoff, founder of marketing consultancy Brand Keys. You take the focus of what is essentially one character and now allow it to be the platform for many characters. Capitalism, I remember ye. Kimberly Boyd, a senior vice president at Hasbro, said the intention of the brand name change was to be more inclusive and to have the characters still live within the Potato Head universe. They just want to live in the universe. It created a lot of excitement, she said, about the reaction. GLAAD, an LGBTQ advocacy group, applauded the more inclusive potato playset because they got nothing else to comment on either. Hasbro is helping kids to simply see toys as toys. No! Kids have always seen toys as toys. It's you dumb fucking adults that see toys as all this other shit.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I never looked at Ken going, I wonder why he likes Barbie. You know, he should be like in another Ken because he looked like a fag. Yeah, but it used to be funny because...
Thanks for that revelation.
My buddy's house, when we were kids, and Ken would be hanging out with Barbie, and then G.I. Joe came home on leave from Vietnam and beat the shit out of Ken.
Now, you know what? G.I. Joe needs to use his words, not his fists, and his kung fu grip.
G.I. Joe needs to use his words.
It's a potato, said Allie Makarski, editor-in-chief of toy review site The Toy Insider, about the new playset, but kids like to see themselves in the toys they are playing with. Barbie, for example, has tried to shed its blonde image and now comes in multiple skin tones and body shapes. Nobody wants fat Barbie, by the way. The Thomas the Tank Engine toy line added more girl characters.
Her name would be Blobby.
Wow. Wow. Now you're fat-shaming a doll. I hope you're proud of yourself. And more girl characters, and American Girl is now selling a boy doll. Mr. Potato Head first hit the toy scene in 1952 when it didn't even come with a plastic potato. Kids had to supply their own vegetable to poke eyes, a nose, or mustache into. Hasbro, which also makes Monopoly and My Little Pony, bought the brand and eventually added a plastic spud. In 2019, census data, there are currently more than 220,000 children in the U.S. with same-sex parents, and it makes sense that Hasbro would want to create a product that caters more directly to their experience of what it means to be family. It's also worth noting that it will likely drive up demand among toy collectors for the old male-branded, yet penisless version. Conservative commentators like Ben Shapiro, who upon hearing the news of Potato Head's revamp, brutally mocked it, viewing the announcement as yet another example of PC culture run amok. Bigotry annihilated, Shapiro tweeted in a multi-part thread. Multi-parts, Joe! Multi-parts over a toy potato. Mrs. Potato Head has also been killed off. She will be replaced by an asexual can of Pringles. Well, that sounds delicious. But to be fair, it's not asexuals. If you look at Pringles, it has a little fucking mustache. Now, I don't know how the can identifies, but to the eye, it looks like a male can. But anyway, I'll go on.
Listen, that could be a female can that just doesn't have any tweezers.
It's Italian. It's Battalion Pringles.
You're being racist against Italians with your can.
Yes, I am. Anyway, move on. Woka Haram strikes again, tweeted Eric Erickson. Woka, I'll give you that. I mean, it's completely out of place, but Woka Haram is kind of funny. How soon will Toy Story have to be re-edited to get rid of Mrs. Potato Head? Immediately. Right-wing author and vlogger Mark Dice, it's the Dice Man over here, was apparently so upset that he tweeted in response to an Associated Press story about the rebranding, it's time for Republican states to secede over a tater? Is it? Is it over a toy tater? That's the fucking line? Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert called for the phrase, come on, man, to be canceled in favor of come on, person, in the name of inclusivity. Pierce Morgan, who left his job today because he's a schmuck, waited by criticizing the name change for being done in the middle of the pandemic to pacify a few wokies. No, they're trying to sell a toy, you dumb motherfucker, you. U.S. GOP House Judiciary Committee trying to use a clip from Toy Story where Potato Head, a fictional potato, tells Woody, a fictional cowboy, that it's Mr. Potato Head to you backstabbing murderer, to try and fight the Hasbro rebrand. Most confusingly, however, was CBN News chief political analyst David Brody and his take on the whole thing, citing the Bible as his reference point.
Brody,
the Bible. This is serious stuff, Joe. Brody tried to claim.
Basically, little did you know, one of the toys that they gave the wise men brought to Jesus was a little Mr. Potato Head.
It was. It was the first.
Frankenspuds.
Brody tried to claim that there are only two genders, and if you crack open a Bible, it's right there in black and white. Brody's saying that Potato Head was male because he has a mustache and identifies as Mr. A lot of people point out, oh, so now it's okay what you identify as? Because before it was just what you anatomically were. Now he's saying it's okay to identify. Okay.
Excuse me, because when you go into the store and you see a 4-foot potato walking around and you go, hey, Chief, I'm a mister. All right.
That's what I do.
When you crack open the Bible, how about when you crack open a science book, there's not necessarily just two genders.
Anyway, all right, listen. Again, I think this is a move that helps the company. I think they would have been better off calling the new playset like the fully loaded potato head, because then it ties in with how people have their potatoes and it's got all the body parts in there. Just call it the fully loaded
potato. What are they actually calling the damn thing now? What's it being called?
They haven't really specified yet. But again, in the rush to be offended, the conservatives like they're taking away our Mr. Potato. You're a fucking adult. Relax. And they're not.
Right. So everybody's up in arms. But you know, I read this story. You know, I was doing research. I was thinking of doing it in the act or whatever. But in all my reading, everybody's upset. You know, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, well, Mr. and Mrs. Potato, don't worry, we're not getting rid of them. But nobody's really said what they're renaming it. I'm curious, what would you name it? Potato Head, I guess, or...
Read someplace that they were at first talking about just calling it Potato Head.
Fine.
And then, after all the backlash, they're like, okay, it's Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head again, calm yourself.
Who cares?
Well, because think about a marketing thing. I mean, if you're going to sell the toy, you have to have it at a price point. And if you're gonna make it Mr. Potato Head, you have things that a man would have, and you put it in the toy. Miss Potato Head or Mr. Potato Head, simple, a purse or something.
Joe, it's funny you mention a purse, because I was thinking about that as you were expounding. I know a man who's in this show who has a man purse. So why can't Mr. Potato Head have a purse too? It's all interchangeable.
Yeah, And Mr. Potato Head to leave it in a fucking mall parking lot and not even fucking realize it to an end of a show and just go to the club owner to give him a lift back to the fucking parking lot and hope he could ever work that fucking club again. So, yes, that would be a good episode for Mr. Potato Head. But still, from a price point perspective, you know, are you gonna put both things for a Mr. Potato Head and a Mrs. Potato Head in the box and have a higher price point? Are you then going to have a Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head separately? You're going to have a potato. You know, so it's a matter of economics.
You know what I would do? Here's what I would do. Mr. and Mrs. Potato have stereotypical male and female things. Then I would have Deluxe Potato Head, where it had have both parts and more, and that one would be a little bit more expensive. That's what I would do. That's what I would do with it.
Yeah.
But I would not be outraged. And I'm like, they're canceling Mr. Potato Head. No, they're not. Mr. Potato Head is fine. So it's like again, I know liberals have their own fucking things. God knows I've fought with them enough. But the conservatives, that from the people that said fuck your feelings, they're fighting over a toy potato now that isn't going anywhere. Mr. Potato Head is going nowhere. They're adding another tater to the potato universe. That's all they're doing. They're being capitalists. They're expanding their fucking brand. That's all they're doing. Ugh.
Maybe they're thinking about adding a few different accessories to the package. Who the fuck cares? If you're basing your whole world about gender on a plastic potato person, you need to, like, expand your universe a little.
I mean, these people. All right, let's move on to another one that was burning up the airwaves. I mean, listen, people are genuinely upset about it. This is why we call it outraged at the machine. We've covered, you know, one or two things where you go, all right, that's a reason to be outraged. But most of this shit, people are getting worked up over nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Here's six Dr. Seuss books will no longer be published because they portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. The business that preserves the author's legacy, said. They said it. The titles are And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, much different than to think I saw it on Christopher Street, completely different Dr. Seuss book.
That was a much better book.
It was a great book. That was a very inclusive book. If I ran the zoo, there'd be two anti-lesbians who ran it. McGelliot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, The Cat's Quizzer. All could be found in Joe's book collection. In a statement, Dr. Seuss Enterprises said it made the decision after consulting educators and reviewing its catalog. Ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises catalog represents and supports all communities and families, it said. The announcement was made Tuesday, the birthday of the famed children's book author. Seuss-born Theodore Seuss Gisel is one of the, is one of the best-known authors in the world, the man behind beloved classics like The Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, Not Kosher, I'm outraged, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Again, what about How the Mensch Stole Hanukkah? Nothing for me! I'm outraged! Among others. Over 650 million copies of his books have been sold worldwide, the Washington Post reported in 2015. But Dr. Seuss had a long history of publishing racist and anti-Semitic work. Who didn't? We're just having fun. Spanning back to the 20s, when he was a student at Dartmouth College. There, Dr. Seuss once drew black boxers as gorillas and perpetuated Jewish stereotypes by portraying Jewish characters as financially stingy, and Joe was upset that no Scotsmen were included in that. According to a study published in the journal Research on Diversity in Youth Literature. That study, published in 2019, examined 50 books by Dr. Seuss and found 43 out of the 45 characters of color have characteristics aligning with the definition of Orientalism, or the stereotypical offensive portrayal of Asia. The two African characters, the study says, both have anti-black characteristics. Two specific examples, according to the study, are found in the books The Cat's Quizzer, Are You Smarter Than the Cat in the Hat, and If I Ran the Zoo. In The Cat Quizzer, the Japanese character is referred to as a Japanese, has a bright yellow face, and is standing what appears to be Mount Fuji, the author wrote. Regarding If I Ran the Zoo, the study points out another example of Orientalism and white supremacy. The three and only three Asian characters who are not wearing conical hats are carrying a white male on their heads. And If I Ran the Zoo, the white male is not only on top of and being carried by these Asian characters, but he's holding a gun, illustrating dominance. The text beneath the Asian characters describes them as helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant from countries that no one can spell, the study authors wrote. Well, that's not helpful. The study also argues that since the majority of human characters in Dr. Seuss books are white, his works inadvertently or not center whiteness and thus perpetuate white supremacy. Seuss himself later revised the 1937 title Mulberry Street, saying, "I had a gentleman with a pigtail. I colored him yellow and called him a Chinaman. That's the way things were 50 years ago. In later editions, I refer to him as a Chinese man. I've taken the color out of the gentleman and removed the pigtail, and now he looks like an Irishman." So even Dr. Seuss was, I guess, becoming more woke in 1937. He himself, long before cancel culture, just said, this isn't cool. I don't really like this. Earlier this week, a school district in Virginia made headlines for allegedly banning books by Dr. Seuss. But Loudoun County Public Schools, located in Ashburn, said it's not banning books by the famous children's authors. It's just discouraging a connection between Read Across America Day, which was created to get kids excited about reading, and Dr. Seuss's birthday. Both fall on March 2nd and have often been historically connected to each other, the district said in a statement. Dr. Seuss books have not been banned in Loudoun County Public Schools. It says, adding later, "We continue to encourage our young readers to read all types of books that are inclusive, diverse, and reflective of our student community, not simply celebrate Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss books have not been banned and are available to students in our libraries and classrooms. However, Dr. Seuss and his books are no longer the emphasis of Read Across America Day in Loudoun County Public Schools. Research in recent years has revealed strong racial undertones and many books written and illustrated by Dr. Seuss," LCPS said in a statement, which links to School Libraries Journal article from 2018 from the National Education Association focusing its Read Across America efforts on diversity, not Dr. Seuss. U.S. customers have flocked to buy copies of Dr. Seuss titles after six of the children's authors' books were withdrawn because of racist portrayals of people of color. Because we need this for our collection. More racism, I say, in the bookshelf. Fox News declared, "Cancer culture strikes beloved author. And if we lose this battle, America has lost." Again, it comes down to taters and children's books. The country is in a very perilous position. On Thursday morning, Amazon.com's bestseller chart was filled with Seuss titles. 9 of the top 10 books were by the late writer, and 30 of the top 50. Fucking smart move, Seuss people. Used copies of the 6 titles for which publication has now ceased, and to think I saw it on Mulberry Street, If I Ran the Zoo, McElliott's Pool, on Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer were put on sale for hundreds of dollars as sellers looked to profit from the decision. You gotta love capitalism. I can't tell you how angry I am that it will no longer be published, wrote one Amazon reviewer on the listing on Mulberry Street, while another ruled that there was no racism here, just overly PC people actively looking for something to be offended about. The cancel culture is canceling Dr. Seuss, lamented Fox and Friends host Brian Kilmeade, adding later, it's out of control! People are too scared, echoed co-host Ainsley Earhart. They don't want to be involved in all this, so they just rather cancel it all. The places we are going in this country right now. Before 9 a.m. Tuesday, Dr. Seuss had been mentioned more than 30 times on Fox News and Fox Business News. Dr. Seuss was an even bigger topic on Newsmax, a Trumpier, further right alternative to Fox News, where it was mentioned more than 20 times during the network's Wake Up America morning show. A Fox News reporter asked White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki a question during Tuesday's briefing about why Biden didn't mention Dr. Seuss in a statement according commemorating Read Across America Day, and Fox News then tried to spin Psaki's answer. She referred to the reporter to the Department of Education as some sort of scandal. Fox News hasn't responded to a question seeking comment about its Seuss coverage as this was published. Tuesday, as FBI Director Chris Wray was testified before a Senate committee about the January 6th insurrection and how it was an instance of right-wing domestic terrorism, Fox News was the only network not to cover it live. Instead, they talk more about cancel culture and Dr. Seuss. On Fox News, despite the fact that both BuzzFeed and Washington Post published exposés on the sexual harassment allegations against GOP Representative Madison Cawthorn, who we talked about last week, Cawthorn was not asked a single question about that. Instead, he was given an opportunity to complain at length about the fake cancellation of Dr. Seuss. Meanwhile, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy completed the circle of right-wing disinformation by using a floor debate over voting rights legislation to complain about Dr. Seuss in the sort of soundbite tailor-made for additional Fox courage. First they outlawed Dr. Seuss, and now they want to tell us what to say. Oh my God. The estate that runs Dr. Seuss's books made the decision they don't want to do it anymore. You know what else was canceled? Chevrolet canceled the fucking Chevette. It was just canceled. Cancel culture. Shit gets canceled all the time. Books stop being published all the time. They had their reasons for it. Nobody was complaining about this shit. These were not top-selling books. They just go, eh, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't really feel it represents us. We're not going to do it anymore. But now I'm going to get a little political here, and then you guys can comment. I truly believe this is because the GOP party, the political party, has nothing to offer right now. There's a COVID-19 relief bill that has 76% popularity. 60% of Republicans like the fucking bill. Republican governors, Republican mayors like the bill. You can't get a Republican in Washington to vote for it. They're not voting for it. They're playing politics when they would be popular if they voted for it. Does it have flaws? I'm sure it does. They got nothing. So there's no policy, just like they had no health care plan. So they're just spinning this fake outrage. Nobody from the left came with pitchforks after Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss' estate made the decision on themselves. Dr. Seuss himself in 1937 started having second thoughts about some of his work. There's no fucking movement to cancel Dr. Seuss. I've never heard liberals get together and go, you know, this Dr. Seuss is a problem. Maybe after the movie with Mike Myers. There were some issues with that movie. A lot of people did not like his portrayal of the Cat in the Hat. Nobody's talking about Dr. Seuss. This is all just made to drum up the rage. That's my opinion.
I think it's a case of companies bowing to the cancel culture. And I think that they're trying to do a preemptive strike on this. I do feel it's sad that they're banning books. It's a self-decision they're making, but nonetheless, they're banning books.
They're not banning them, Joe. They're just not printing more of them.
Publish the book anymore. They're self-banning it. Let the consumer decide.
Well, Joe, they said these were not top-selling books. They're just doing capitalism. They're not top-selling.
If they're coming out and saying that the book isn't selling and it's not, the margin isn't there to publish it, then that's fine. That's a business decision.
Are
they making a business decision, or are they making a cancel, bowing to a potential problem for the cancel culture?
But nobody was complaining. These books have been out for decades. decade.
Nobody has said anything about
that's my point. Nobody has complained about these books. No liberals are chatting. All right, first the minimum wage, first COVID, then the minimum wage, then Seuss. Nobody's talking about this shit.
Right. So is this a decision that there's not enough margin in publishing the books, so they're not? Or is this a decision that they're bowing to a potential problem with the cancel
culture? It's neither. I'll tell you what this is. This is a genius decision by Dr. Seuss, the company, to sell more fucking books. Because they know what rubes we are. Oh my God, we're not going to have it anymore? Buy up every last one. Because that's what we do. I've done that shit with baseball cards when I was a child. Because that's what people do. So now they got 30 of the top 50 top-selling books on Amazon. Now all these people who have these fakakta old books, probably like with crayons on it and shit, are selling them on eBay for hundreds of dollars. Once again, this is just capitalism. There's no...
No, that's fine. So you know, if they're turning around and going, you know, it's like, well, let them, and hear me out, let the market dictate the sale of these books. No, I just told you that these books aren't selling that well. So if it's a case where it's the margin's not there to produce them, I get it. If it's something that they are worried about the cancel culture having a problem with these books, and they're bowing down, I have a problem with that.
Oh, right, a couple things. First of all, again, I don't think little children, and again, this is coming from a white, when I was white, so I don't know how people of color would portray, but I don't think little children read that much into the characters. Again, I think it's the adults that when you look back on it, like if I looked at it with my eyes now, I would go, yeah, that's troubling. But as a kid, I totally did not see that.
I didn't see it either. I thought Dr. Seuss was kind of fucking creepy, to tell you the truth.
He was. the bigger issue here, you have to ask yourself, and this is what I'm saying, why is Fox News pushing this instead of covering Chris Wray testifying in front of fucking Congress? Why are they pushing this? It's to drum up the outrage. And, you know, I was telling you I put it on a social media. You don't hear this shit on CNN and MSNBC. The only time they talk about the Dr. Seuss shit is when they're making fun of Fox News for covering the Dr. Seuss stuff. It really doesn't register. The liberal agenda is COVID-19, minimum wage, racism, and better policing, and climate change. That's the agenda.
So let's talk about this from a marketing standpoint, a viewership thing. You just described the basis for CNN and what they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News, more conservative, not as much as it used to be. Conservative slant, freedom of speech. Yeah, talk stupid. Freedom of speech slant. Of course they're going to do this story. And of course they're going to do it more than CNN.
But they're lying.
MSNBC would do it.
But they're lying. They're so not covering the story.
Viewership. Ratings.
And this goes back to a segment I did on the show several months ago where I talked about the difference between news in our country and news in other countries. News in other countries, if you're going to call yourself a news program, you have to be factual. That's why, that's why Fox News isn't looked at. They still get Fox News, and people still watch it in, say, Canada, but it's not. But most of the country doesn't look at it as news, and that's what I'm saying. This isn't news. They made up a storyline. And listen, for their viewership, if you want to talk...
They really make up a storyline. The storyline isn't made up.
It is.
They ran with the story. No, it's not. Devin, they're canceling these books. They're not going to be publishing these books.
Who's canceling them? The company who made them.
Fine. It's fine. But it is a story. And if you're going...
Is it a bigger story than the insurrection?
But Devin, it's an... And let's not talk about the... a policy or the ethics of it. Just talk about it as a news story. This news story, they're canceling it. They feel like they're bowing to the cancel culture of canceling this book, regardless if the company is doing it, you know, Dr. Seuss, which they are. This is a story to that agenda, to that base. And if your deal is getting viewership.
Fine. Joe, from a viewership...
A story like this is something that they
Joe?
Do.
From a viewership standpoint, I get it, and I'm fine with it. My point is, let's not call it news. Because that's my point. Because there's no way this is a bigger story than the head of the FBI testifying about what happened at the insurrection. It's just not a bigger story. There's no day of the week where Christopher Wray's testimony about what happened on January 6th is less important, whether you're a conservative, a liberal, or an independent. Now, from a business standpoint, you're right, Joe. They are feeling the heat from the right. They're feeling it from Newsmax and OANN and all that shit. But this is the reason why when they do these studies, they say Fox News viewers are the least informed of the news things. Because they're doing their people a disservice. Yes, they're making it money. Yes, it feeds into it. But you just don't call it news. I don't care if you cover it. Just don't call it news when you're going to lie about it. And Joe, forget about Fox News for a second. Forget about Fox News. What about the politicians grandstanding on the fucking lie? Shouldn't they be held to a higher? Forget about Fox News and their business model. We got the number one ranking Republican in Congress talking about its cancel culture, mentioning no point that Dr. Seuss made the decision themselves. Hold them to the higher standard. Forget about Fox News. Hold the politicians to a higher standard, please. Once, that's all I'm asking.
They're playing to their base.
And that's the problem, Joe. That's the problem. Everybody's playing to a base, and they're not doing their job. They're doing us a disservice. That's my problem with the whole fucking thing. They're tearing us apart.
And the key that you said is the whole fucking thing. To accentuate that, on both sides of the aisle, it has been the years, especially since the advent of the cable news networks. And social media, on both sides of the aisle, it's how does this help the party? It's never really how does it help the country?
Correct.
And it's both sides of the aisle. Everybody's got their media outlet to the base. So, yeah, Fox News carried it. They didn't carry the FBI thing because they probably figured, well, everybody else is carrying this. We'll carry that. It plays to our base better. It'll get us more ratings on that segment.
But it's a disservice. And I'll tell you what, I think why Biden is popular right now is because I think people right, left, and center, and again, he has his detractors, they're looking and go, okay, this guy is just trying to help us. We're hurting with this COVID-19. That's why he didn't comment on the Dr. Seuss. You know, if Trump still had his Twitter account and was president, you know, Trump would have had a lot to say about this shit. And this is what I was saying. And we kind of all agreed on this at some point during the Trump administration. Just get to the president thing. I don't need my president. I don't need my politicians commenting on this nonsense. It's great for talk radio.
That was, like I said, he probably would have. It would be another case where he didn't really concentrate on the things that matter.
Yes.
If he was still in office and he commented, and you would call me on it, I'd go, I agree with you. Who gives a shit about, why does he give a shit about Dr. Seuss? Who gives a shit about that, you know?
Yes. And that's why I'm saying.
Playing to the base.
I think President Biden is popular right now because, again, he's getting Republican support, not from the people in Washington, because people are looking and go, he's not fucking wasting time with nonsense. And that's why I said the problem with Trump, I said it in 2018, people are going to be tired of it. They're going to be exhausted about it. You can only do this for so long. And these news companies, listen, I understand they get a lot of viewers and everything, but you can only do this shit for so long. People are going to get tired. At some point, you have to be tired of being outraged. And they know people are tired, so they're lying. They make it sound like AOC canceled Dr. Seuss. The liberals had nothing. It was a business.
That's the thing, is they keep referring to it as they, and knowing that the base is going to think they, meaning liberals, but it's not necessarily true. I mean, the company's decision could have been even highly affected by what they thought liberals were going to say about this, or a couple liberals that may have even reached out to them. But the thing was, the company made the decision, and that should be the lead instead of being buried in the story.
Well,
and so it's like, they are coming to cancel all the things that we love, like Mr. Potato Head and Dr. Seuss.
Like I said,
no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I don't know if it was made on a fiscal basis, a profit basis on the books closed selling, or it was made for them to pacify the cancel culture.
But you know what? Again,
look at it. Now, Fox is going to run with the pacify the cancel culture.
But Joe, let's be honest.
That'll get their base.
If you're a business owner and you can avoid Let's just say they did it for the cancel culture. If you can avoid being called on the carpet for being insensitive or being racist before it happens, why wouldn't you? Anybody, it's just good business. So, you know, these were not top-selling books. They did have offensive content. I don't know why people need to cling to the most racist shit. I don't understand why. There's so many wonderful Dr. Seuss titles. But listen, it's just more nonsense.
Well, like I said, put the book out. If people feel it's offensive, they don't want to read it, the slow sales, then you cancel the book.
Joe, it's been out for like 80 years.
Let the market dictate it.
Joe, it's been out for 80 years.
There's too much bowing to the cancel culture.
But I don't know who's canceling anything. There's nobody's canceling anything but the companies.
But I mean, look at, for example, look at Walt Disney. There were early cartoons where there were like depictions of natives with giant lips and chasing after, Mickey Mouse and stuff. They stopped showing those because somebody looked at them and said, holy crap, this is really minstrelly and really racist. And look, we're showing, you know, Africans as like these, you know, like these horrible racist depictions of black people. We should stop that. So you don't see, let's hang on to that. Let's have those cartoons like depicted on t-shirts in Disneyland and stuff. The company said, no, we're not going to reflect that anymore. And I didn't see like this uproar. No, we need to have the little Unga Bunga men. No, because people just as a group said, no, we're not going to do that
anymore. When they did that, Pip, there wasn't these 24-hour news cycles where they had and social media where people had to create outrage. They just made a decision, and one day you didn't see it.
How embarrassing would it be being on the side of, we have to keep that, we have to hold on to that. I think that I agree with your point that if this is why Fox is, for example, making the decision to show this stuff instead of news that's actually happening, and because they're playing to their base, they are doing their base a disservice because they're not showing news, and people think they're being shown news. They're not
correct.
Showing the only news. And yeah, I know every one of these news programs in America now, I mean, you have to turn to BBC or something because to see what's actually happening in the world, because they all have their slant, which is ridiculous.
I noticed that too. I noticed that too. A little too much Orientalism in that comment, Miss Helix.
Oh my God! I apologize. Please don't cancel me.
I might kick you off the Zoom show.
Walter Cronkite is rolling in his grave because of the way that news—that's
a roomy coffin.
Works in America now.
All right, let's.
You want to know something? Yeah, and no. Walter Cronkite was the last of one of the few honest ones, but history showed he also had his position on the Vietnam War, which he would comment on the newscast, and it also changed the country's perception on the war as well.
Yeah, but true. Valid point, but Walter Cronkite wasn't on 24/7 beating the drum of outrage. All right, let's.
Can you imagine if he was?
Oh, no.
Walter Cronkite. I've had 2 fucking hours of sleep. Turn now, I'm fucking tired. Why do I sound like Nixon? I don't know.
I think what we're going to do, we're going to do this last story, then we'll take a break, and I don't think we're going to do scamming scammers tonight. We'll just finish out with the rest of this stuff. So we'll do one more story, take a break, and then finish the rest of this segment. Because
I got to cook my chicken.
Oh, of course you do. All right, now they're coming.
Is that a euphemism?
Now they're coming for American treasure, Eminem. How dare they? An attempt by Generation Z haters to cancel Eminem over controversial lyrics has been shot down by millennials who feel the youngsters were talking out of school. You kids today. Videos defending Slim Shady, whose real name is Marshall Mathers, are taking social media by storm. The controversy kicked off in February when a Zoomer, or Gen Z member, posted a TikTok clip condemning the rapper's 2010 hit Love the Way You Lie featuring Rihanna for reportedly glorifying violence against women. They highlighted the verse, "If she ever tries to fucking leave again, I'ma tie her to the bed and set this house on fire." Well, that'll teach her, I'll tell you that much. The haters on camera the haters on camera disc caused 30 somethings to, in the words of an Eminem song title, just lose it. As many of them grew up on the 48-year-old Detroit native's tunes. In the most viral clip with 5.6 million views, an Eminem diehard defends the real Slim Shady singer in a rap beautifully set to the Forgot About Dre beat. Listen, little kiddies, let me make this quite clear. This man was around before you were here. She spits, adding that modern rappers mumble gibberish. The number ends with this lyrical coup de grace. One day you'll grow up and see how everyone went and forgot about Z. Another inspired TikTok sketch depicts an Eminem-loving millennial having a mock argument with himself as a Gen Zer who says, "We gotta cancel Eminem." The millennial responds, "Why?" and is then asked by his offended younger doppelganger, "Have you heard his lyrics?" The creator back to playing his millennial fireball drinking self responds, "Heard him. I was raised screaming them all through grade school." Undaunted, the Zoomer says, "The lyrics are full of hate," to which the millennial claps back, "So is my angsty little teenage soul. But look at me, how I turned out fine." Other Slim Shady stalwarts out that way, "Love the Way You Lie" is tame compared to some of the Grammy winners' older hits such as Superman and Guilty Conscience, the latter depicting a man murdering his cheating wife and her lover. In addition, Rihanna herself has said that Stan Rapper's aforementioned verse was actually a condemnation, not a celebration of domestic abuse. For now, it appears Eminem is safe from the social media guillotine, especially since, as one Twitter user noted, more powerful people have tried and failed to cancel the hip-hop icon, including two U.S. presidents. They were likely referencing former Commanders-in-Chief George Bush and Donald Trump, both of whom the rapper has skewered his song. Mathers has not yet to wait in. I do like how the millennials are now the "Hey, you kids, get off my lawn" people.
Absolutely. And this is where I'm saying, where things are getting crazy enough, where the millennials are going, "Hey, fuck you, man." The millennials are going, "All right, enough of this shit."
I think it's just a rite of passage. What you love is eventually torn to shreds and hated, and you have to decide if you're going to stand up for it. That's just the way our culture works. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I mean, when Rihanna, who's featured on the song, is saying, no, it's a condemnation of domestic abuse, you got to take her word for it. You can't interpret what you think it means when the creators are telling you what they say it means.
But the funny thing about it is when you get called a boomer, "All right, boomer, we rebelled against our parents with drugs and music and stuff like that, so fuck you." Then you got the Gen X, and Gen X, they're still brooding, you know? They're giving everybody else the dirty look they always gave everybody. And then you have the millennials, "Well, the millennials don't do it." Now they're like, "Hey, fuck you." Three generations really pissed off, you know, and maybe this new generation may go, you know, maybe it's us.
the
Gen X, we're like, we kind of admire them for their attitude, and the millennials, we kind of go, but when they're both going, "Get your skirt off, you assholes," you know.
Well, I am Gen X, but this goes to my point, which I've been making time again. Yeah, but being outraged over nonsense does not require an ideology. It's just America's birthright these days to be outraged over nonsense. A decade later, you're coming after Eminem. Listen, a lot of art does not hold up. We've seen it with movies, you know, like 16 Candles. You know, what was funny then is like rapey now. Just ask Governor Cuomo. What was funny in 2019 is rapey now. Wait, no, that was rapey then too. But I mean, it's just the way it is. At some point, you just have to go, this is art. It is what it is.
Well,
if you don't like it.
Even moving forward now with Rotgut. You know, the history of Rotgut and stuff like that.
I did not see a Rotgut. I did not see a Rotgut mentioned coming, I must admit.
but still, even on a smaller level, I mean, when we go out, because we're still, when this shit all gets done, we're going back out and doing the Chili Peppers cover stuff. And when we first started doing it, we went out with Rotgut, you know, the show, at least I did, and stuff like that. And then we had a band meeting. And then we said, look, with the way things are right now, you know, and Ant was like the forefront of saying this. It's like, change the name of the band, just do, you know, the thing and stuff like that. So we changed it to Funky Monks. And, you know, we kind of caved to that. And the good thing is that we made the decision as a band. We all agreed as a band, even though the band played sporadically and stuff like that. It wasn't Joe's decision or what was Ant. It was all of our decisions. Yeah, fuck it. We'll change the name. We'll drop Rocket. We'll drop the show, any legacy that we had.
So you made the decision. that the Seuss people did. You just go, ah, fuck it, it's not worth it. And you made the same decision. That's all. You could have been fine the other way, but you didn't want to hear this shit. You know, it's fine. That's what people do. You got to pick your battles.
It's like, but the thing about it too is that you let the market dictate the thing that back in the day we used to sell out clubs when Anthony was on NEW and K Rock and Rock Up would play, the band would go out. We would fill the club. Well, Ant's been off of K Rock. He's got his own thing now. You know, of the audience that used to follow us are way older. So if that band plays, we don't draw anywhere where we used to. So it's like, all right, from a business standpoint, nobody really remembers the Rock Gut name. We're going out with this, so it's just better from a business standpoint to just drop it.
All right,
and we're letting what the market dictates, because people don't go out to rock clubs. The band doesn't have the following it used to have. So when the band goes out, we're taking a different tack from a business standpoint.
I will tell you, Eminem is thrilled to be mentioned in the same sentence as Rock Gut. I will tell you, it's the honor of Marshall Mathers' life.
He would be, yeah. But like I said, and it bears worth repeating, when you got the millennials living, maybe get a little bit too far.
Look, because it's the same. They're attacking the millennials' art. Nobody likes their art attacked, and that's the thing. It's like, what's wrong? What's wrong with baby boomers? Why don't they get more woke? Well, what's wrong with millennials? Why don't they get more woke? Nobody likes the shit that they grew up with attacked. You have to understand why people don't view it in the same way, because we evolve.
You've got to understand that, especially when they're calling out the man. Well, do you hear his lyrics? Yeah, no shit. We used to sing them. Well, it's fine. You know, well, we listen to them. I'm not a hood. I turned out fine. I got a good job. I got a house. I got two kids. So fuck you. You know.
You know what, Joe? That's the nicest thing you've ever said about millennials. You just said they have a house, a job, two kids. You're out of character tonight.
So are the millennials.
All right, we're gonna.
Situations make odd bedfellows. You know.
Let's take our last break. We're going to skip the scamming scammers because we got a few more outraged at the machines. On the break, we got new music from Hypophy Music featuring Meg with Isolation and Jen Ella with Eyes for You. And you can learn more about both those artists at Deuce Music. Short break.